Mark chapter 6, you want to turn there. We're gonna cover a lot of ground, so get there. What we're going to do today is we're going to get into the story of simple Jesus. We're going to see some elements from today's stories. I love how elements of story, whether it's in the book or the movies we love, elements grab and captivate us, right? Today we're hoping to see that happen with the work that is happening here. We're going to see on mission, Jesus is sending the 12. We're going to look at that, and we're going to talk about how being on mission is still our gig. It's still what we do. It's still what we're about. So that's a fantastic thing. You know, this is a church that has a long history of mission, of being on mission. Our relationship in Honduras, Central America, all the way over in Europe, we've got these missional things that we've done for years, Africa, Tibet, and it's just phenomenal. We've created the local Boaz mission the last several years. That's the project that we're going to have coming up at the end of April. And, you know, as Pastor Jake has been here, it's been so fun to put fresh lenses, a fresh view on what it means to be on mission. So let's pray, and I want us to get into the mission element of what we're going to see out of the gospel this morning. So bow your hearts with me, if you would, one more time. Father, thank you again for just the beautiful, beautiful slice of heaven in our worship time this morning. And I pray, Father, that as we transition to the Word, that your Spirit would cause the Word to come alive. Only you can do that. So we're asking that you would open our hearts to hear and to receive what it is that you want to say to each and every one of us. So help our hearts to get there. We pray for your Spirit to do its job. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Mark 6, let's start in verse 6. It says these words, "Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He sent them out two by two, and he gave them authority over evil spirits." Now, these verses are so packed. We're going to move quickly today. We don't have time. We could spend all of our time right here. But he calls the 12, sends them out two by two. He gives them authority over evil spirits. Verse 12 builds it a little bit for us. If you skip down just a little bit, it says, "They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them." So basically what we have is full-on empowerment of Jesus in ministry going through these 12 that he calls and then sends out two by two. Now let's build the context. What we've been looking at for the past several weeks, if you remember, is full-on significantly massive ministry by Jesus. We've seen crowds of thousands gather in the Galilean region, which is phenomenal when you consider that those villages were only made up of 50, 70, 100 people at the most. So these are people who are coming in to hear what's going on. And there is preaching of the gospel happening. There is the proclamation of the kingdom truth that Jesus is about, parables being taught. There is healing taking place. Demons are cast out. We saw this on the shores of the Gerasenes just a couple of weeks ago. And then we heard of the healings that took place 2 weeks ago, the woman who bled for 12 years, and Jairus, his daughter, who was rose from the dead. And even last week, Jesus was operating in power as he was neglected and no faith in Nazareth. So Jesus is doing this fully open amongst everybody. Everybody's seeing this, and then he calls these 12 together, and he sends them out. He sends them out to do exactly what he has himself been doing. And what's interesting about this is Jesus is sending these 12 back into the ground that he's already covered. This is him re-injecting into the ground that he's already covered the 12 with authority to go in and do ministry. These 12 sent out, and we are sent out, church. And what I want us to see and understand as we dig into this a little bit is the only difference between them and us is that Jesus was incarnate with them. He was on the ground with them. He was there with them. And the difference is that he died and he rose again and ascended into heaven, the Spirit of God descends on the people of God in Acts 2. And so the church forms, builds, and you and I are still in process with the mission. We're still on mission. That's the only difference. It's been handed over to us. It's been handed over to us. Let me show you. Let me show you this. I want to use Luke's gospel to do that. Luke 24, beginning in 44, says these words. This, by the way, this is post-resurrection, right? This is Jesus after he comes out of the grave prior to his ascending up into heaven. In Acts 1, it talks about how this happened over the course of 40 days in various places with various people. There were these Jesus sightings. I can't imagine what that must have been like for that church before Jesus ascended. He shows up over here, then he's over here. So this is the context of this verse found in Luke 24. He said to them, verse 44, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds. Then he opened their minds. Wouldn't you have loved to have been at that Bible study? Opened their minds for them to understand. He opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day." Jesus basically just said to them with this amazing opening up of their minds, everything that you've read in the old law, everything that you have read in the Psalms, everything that you've read in the Proverbs, all of it is about me. It's about me. I want you to see that, he's saying to them and he's saying to us. I want you to see that. The Old Testament fulfilled in Christ. And then he goes on, after pointing back, he points to verse 47. "And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem." That's the gospel. Everything there, Old Testament, is about me for the sake of the gospel of me, Jesus speaking. Are you tracking? And then he points them to mission. Here's mission. Verse 48, "You are my witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised." You're my witnesses, he told them. You're my witnesses. Mark's account of the pre-ascent commission goes like this. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Matthew 28 is the one we're all familiar with. "Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Teaching them, that's discipleship, that's raising them up. "And surely I am with you always, to the end of the age." So, the commission is the gospel of Christ needs to be proclaimed. Go do that. You're my witnesses until the end of the age, right? Has the end of the age occurred yet? Sometimes when I watch Fox News, they make it sound like it's there, but it's not there yet. That may happen in our time, may not, but until the end of the age comes, we're to be on mission. We're to be about the gospel. You know, the most vital decision any of us will make isn't who we're going to marry, what career are we going to be about, what is the college I should go to. Those things are important decisions, but in comparison, they don't even compare to what do we do about the sin nature that we were born with. What do we do about the fact that we are separated from God and that we deserve a death because of our sin? What do we do about that, and how do we reconcile that Jesus came, he bore our sins on the cross for us, he died the death that you deserved, that I deserved, and as a result of our accepting him, he reestablishes relationship with God the Father, and he says to us, "You need it. You need it. You need it. You got it? You need it. We need it." And then what he does in that decision to accept Christ and give us this amazing, beautiful gift of salvation, he says, "Now I want you to go talk about it. I want you to go on mission for me. I want you to go on mission for me." That's what we're called to do. That's what FBC is about. That's what any church that has affiliation with Jesus Christ should be about. So let's get into this section of Mark, and let's unpack it a little bit. I want us to look at the anatomy of being on mission very quickly, beginning in verse 7. Calling the 12 to him, he said to them, "Go out two by two." What you see throughout the Gospels, what you see in Acts, is the coming together and that being kind of foundational to being on mission. It's this beautiful unity. I love the 133rd Psalms that talks about how good it is for brothers to be in unity. And in the third verse it says, "In this place I will bestow my blessing. I will bestow my blessing." And that's what being mission is all about, is being in unity, being together. Think of it this way. When you accept Jesus Christ, we are called into a new identity in Christ, right? We take what was with our old nature, that sin nature, and when we accept Christ, what Jesus calls us to be about is accepting our new identity, growing in him, becoming more conformed into his image. Last week we talked about, Pastor Jake mentioned, you know, it's not enough just to accept Jesus, get the ticket punched, right? I've talked about it before. It's like buying a ticket to get into Disneyland, going in and never getting on any of the rides. When you go in, you experience the fullness of what you're called to be. And so the idea of growing in Christ, our new identity, is that we now have a filter in Jesus that we look through for every decision that we make, everything that we're about, everything that we do, goes through the filter of who Jesus is and what he's calling you to be about. We have a new identity in Christ. So if our identity is being shaped by Jesus, would you agree with me that that's the call? That's what it's about? Our identity is to be shaped by Christ. So if our identity is to be shaped by Christ, then our agenda should be shaped by who? Jesus. And in Jesus' identity, in our identity with him, he calls us to be on mission. So our agenda for Jesus should be mission. Right? Mission. This is a church on mission. You know, this June, I think it's June, we're going to celebrate 125 years. This church has been here for 125 years. That's crazy. Sitting on this block. 125 years. We're going to celebrate that. God has been faithful through this church, through the good years, through the hard years. You know, for good or bad, I've been here for 20 years. You yeah, right? You make the call. Is that you, Mike? Good or bad, amen? Thank you. He said good, Mike. Good or bad. And I got to say that in the 20 years, 15 years on staff, out of all that time, I would say I've never seen the church as poised as it is right now to take ground for the kingdom. I've never seen a staff, I've never seen an elder board more called together, more unified than I do right now. And I'm excited about that. And right there, I got to go time out. I got to stop. And I got to say to you that are listening, just, you know, check your iPhones for the weather or something. Right now, I'm speaking to previous elders and to previous staff and their spouses. And what I want to say to you is that some of you struggle with the fact that you hear that we're on such good ground right now and that it's unified, and I got to believe that for some it's a struggle to hear that. And what I want to say to you is that Jesus has used your prayers. He has used your labor, he has used your pain, and he has used your tears to get us where we are today. And so you hold your head up and you embrace that Jesus used you when it was tough. He used you. I personally, when I look at some of you guys that have been around, and some of you were on the board and you were doing stuff before I even came to this church and you're in this room. You need to know that I see you, and I believe that our current staff sees you as veterans of spiritual war, and you deserve honor and you deserve thanks. Amen? FBC is poised to take ground for the kingdom, and I can't wait to see how this goes. We've got such good traction the last few months. We have our new pastor who is leading us. We have our elder team that is digging in, and we're going to build on the foundation that you leaders have provided for us, and we're going forward. You're going to hear truth. You're going to hear character. You're going to hear community, and you're going to hear mission. Truth is the idea of receiving Jesus' word, receiving and growing in our identity in Christ. Truth received, lie booted. We're gonna grow in character. That's the idea of becoming conformed to his image. We're going to do this in community. We're going to come together. We're going to go out in twos. We're going to be in relationship with each other. And we're going to be on mission. We're going to do this at every level. Beginning today, Pastor Jake in the second service is going to start a membership class. We're going to nurture it right there all the way through. I can't wait for a year from now because we're just going to ooze this. Sounds kind of gross, but it's going to be good. We're going to ooze. It's going to be good DNA. What God is doing here is I'm so excited about it. So for those of you who are here checking us out, you're new, you came to see Pastor Jake, sorry, it's me. Bullpen preacher this morning. He'll be up next week. Was that you again, Mike? If you're here and you're checking us out, we would say to you, membership is how we get this done. We would say to you that membership is how we do mission together. Membership is simply a way of saying, this is where God has called me. This is where I'm buying in. This is the slice of the bride that I'm to be about and be with and be on task with. And we're calling it membership. So we want you to be in. If you're brand new and you came to see Jake and it's me, hey, take your time. Oh, I almost did that. Sorry. That's Kate, right? She's going to club me with her guitar. I'll stay right here. If you're checking us out and you're new, please do. Sample us. Taste the DNA. See what God's doing here. But the moment he begins to say to you, this is where I want you, this is where I want you to plug in, we're going to argue membership. We're going to encourage membership. If you've been here a while and you haven't taken that step yet, come on. Membership. Buy in. This is good stuff, what God is doing in this church. Verse 7, he called them together, sent them out two by two, and he gave them, what does it say? Authority. He gave them authority over evil spirits. Verse 12, he gave them authority to proclaim the gospel, to heal, cure diseases. Gave them authority. In Luke's account of the sending of the 12 in chapter 9, he says power and authority. Power and authority in who? Jesus. Power and authority in Jesus. It's Jesus' authority. It's Jesus' power. Only Jesus has the strength and the power to change a heart from being a worshiper of self to a worshiper of himself. Only Jesus can do that. And that's the dependence that we have to have is on God's authority. God, grant us the authority to take and infuse our mission. To infuse our mission. That's that in this place, that unity place. In this place, I will bestow my blessing. Part of that blessing is authority that comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Acts 1:8 says, and this is pre-ascent. This is pre-ascent. Jesus is still hanging out for 40 days. Wouldn't that have been cool? You get to your small group that night. Hey, anybody see him? 40 days, various places. Here's what it says in Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. The gospel tells the story of Jesus. Acts tells the story of the first church. You and I are still on mission because the end of the age hasn't come yet, and so we're going to be about being on mission. Amen? That's what we're called to do. And it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that infuses our mission with power and infuses our mission with authority Do you want that?
I do.
I do. Verse 8. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belt. Wear sandals, but no extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. Now, we're going to unpack that in a second, but he's sending them out thin, right? Leave your debit cards at home, no iPhones, you're going out thin. And then it says in verse 11, and if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. We don't have time to unpack that, but that's a serious verse. That is a serious verse. In the Old Testament, when Jews left the Promised Land, when they left and came back, they shook the dust off their feet as a testimony that I'm not bringing that dirt from that nation into the Holy Land. And so they did this as a physical testimony that you're a heathen nation, this is the holy nation. What Jesus is doing is he's saying the boundaries are off. This isn't about a select people anymore. This is about individuals. If you reject me, Jesus is saying, shake that dust off your feet as a testimony against them. That's serious business, and that should motivate our mission. We don't have time to go there, but that's a big deal. Back to take nothing for your journey except for, and then the meagerness of that. That is thin. That is simple. Some would argue that the emphasis there is about relating to the poor. Go in meager, go in, look, you know, and relate. And that makes sense, and that's not a bad thing to do, but I don't believe that this is the emphasis. I think Jesus wants our mission to be razor-sharp focus and dependence on him. Razor-sharp focus and dependence on him. By the way, it is... The definition of a church program, a program. We feel good about them and we call them ministry, but program. The definition of a church program is something that isn't focused. It doesn't have that razor sharp focus. It doesn't have that dependence on Jesus, and there's no power. But we do it. To feel better about ourselves, we do it. There's no power there. We do it. We call it ministry. It's not. It's a program. It's a program. You guys get a chance to see Pastor Paul when he was here a couple weeks ago? Had a chance to sit down with him a little bit, and I said, so dude, you've been out of preaching, you've been out of the pulpit for a while now. What have you done for the kingdom? And he told me about it, and it was awesome to hear an update from him. But basically what he shared was, you know, the most impactful thing I've done for the kingdom since I've been gone is I ran over snakes. I said, all right, bro, I love you, man, and I know the Bible, but I don't know that one. You're going to have to explain that to me. So what he did is he's got this small group of people that don't go to church, disenfranchised with church, and so he meets with them. He's teaching them the gospel. He's teaching them all the way back to the Old Testament. He's been meeting with them, and what they did is they asked him, hey, we're going to go do this race. Would you go with us? Would you be part of our support team? So he said, okay, I'll do that. 2-3 days. It was some place in the desert, high desert. It was a 180-mile foot race over 3 days or whatever. It's just like, you know, I don't know. They got to have their heads examined to do that. 115-degree heat. And so he was just on the support team, and he went out with them, and he drove in the van and had their stuff. They pulled the trailer. And he told a story one night, they went out to, they were getting ready to do a certain leg of the race. It was the toughest leg in this race, and it was a 7-mile climb, a few thousand feet in elevation gain, and it was at night. So this one guy in their little group that was going to go do this leg, they send him out, and they were going to meet him 2 miles up the road. So he takes off, and Paul describes it as he's behind this guy that's already out there. They're coming in behind him. All of a sudden, he's driving down the road, and they go, what was that? Well, there's another one. They were rattlesnakes. Didn't that just creep you out? Rattlesnakes in the middle of the road. They come out on the road, and they lay there to get heated up before they go out and hunt, I guess. I don't know. So they catch up to the runner, and they're like, dude, did you? Oh, no, I've been running around them this whole trip up. And so Paul says, we'll clear the way for you. So they get ahead of him in the van, right? And Paul's in the passenger seat. He's like, a little bit to the right. Another foot. Nope, too far. Back over. Next 5 miles, that's what they did. They ran over snakes. And here's the point. He spent time doing that. 2 days of his life, and he said it was the most impact he's made in that group out of a year of being with them, to just go hang out with them. He had margin in his life to do that. I got to tell you, man, I'm challenged by that. Do you understand with me? Can you agree with me that it's not the dark sin that takes you off mission? It can, and if you slip and if you stumble, we'll grab you. We'll pull you back in. We'll love you back in to the being on mission and with Jesus. If I slip, you'll grab me, right? I got your back, you get mine. What gets us is the good stuff, right? Family, possessions, homes, the good stuff, friendships, good gifts by Jesus that he wants us to enjoy. But if we're not careful, man, we'll get so occupied with good stuff that it takes us right out of the game. Jesus has been dealing with me on this one. Again, I don't know how I got this message. I was supposed to preach last week's message when we first scheduled this, remember? I was going to take on the rejection in Nazareth, but God in his sovereignty knew I needed this. He's been working this over in my life for a while now. Come on, Glenn, I want you to have margin. Come on, Glenn, what are you focused on? What are you aiming yourself at? How are you caught up in good stuff a little bit too far so that it takes you away from? And here's what I'm learning, and I'm going to throw it out there and see if this works. One of them is time. What do I spend my time on? What do you spend your time on? And think of it this way. What gets the best of your time? Okay? What gets the best of you? Fill in the blank. Insert that. Whatever it is, probably something good. I'm a vocational minister. I pastor full time, and it's so tempting and so easy to use that as an excuse to say, man, I've done my mission. What gets the best of me? Whatever gets the best of you, something else isn't getting the best of you. And you have to ask yourself, is that being on mission for Jesus? Is that margin that you need to make available for the Lord? If you're stuck there, you got to do business with that. I look at it a little bit like the debt that we can get ourselves into financially. In our culture, it's so easy to get into debt. We buy stuff we don't really need, pay way more than we should, and then we put it on credit, and so we're making monthly, you know, installments on that loan. We're trying to squeak in another payment, and we got no money left. We got no margin in our money. We do that with our time. We do that with our time. Whatever gets us, something else isn't getting the best of us, and we end up burned out, exhausted, nothing left. Nothing left in the tank. Do you know what I'm talking about? Is it just me he's working over on that? He's slapping me. Is he slapping you? In a good way? God wants the best of you. He wants the best of you. You know, we've been talking last week. We had a conversation in ministry, Tammy and I, about Awana. We put Awana end date at the end of April this year. It's the first time we've done that in years. And we have always ended it towards the middle of April. We started doing that a few years ago. Anybody know why? Take a guess. Sports. Little League. Little League. Because when they, you know, it used to be you showed up at the park, you play a little baseball. They sign your name in blood now. They want all of you. 6 a.m. Saturday morning practices. If it's raining, doesn't matter. You're under the cover, and you play till it's so dark you get beamed in the head with the ball you didn't see coming. They want all of you. Some of you moms are working on your resume for Mason County Transit because all you do is you drive your kids from one thing to another. You're just going. Good stuff, right? But that line gets crossed, and when that line gets crossed and it consumes more than it should, then it becomes more than it should. Another one, passion. I got to wrap up. Passion. What do I mean? Whatever your passion is, whatever you think about, whatever you dream about, that's got you. That's got you. That's what you're pouring yourself into. That's what is getting your time. That's what is getting your attention. Could be good stuff, but if it's taking you again away from mission, if it's taking you away from mission, listen to the voice of God. Jesus is coming back. The end of the age is coming. And between now and then, we have this awesome privilege of being first recipients of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you. And then on mission is making ourselves available. As we transform into the image of Christ, we need to transform into the agenda of Christ. Amen? Let's bow our hearts. Let's pray. Father, I want to position myself to be in obedience to you, especially as it relates to the area of mission. And I want so badly, Father, for our church, our family, to be a church that you use in significant ways for the kingdom. And Father, I pray around this room that you would help us to evaluate our hearts, evaluate where we spend our time, where we've overinvested, Lord, where we have spent the best of ourselves. And Lord, if that hasn't been on mission, if that hasn't been fulfilling your agenda, God, would you show us that? Would you point to that in our hearts, and would you help our hearts to be open to hearing that from you? And if that's us, God, if we need to do business with you, I pray that you would change our hearts' desires. Help us to want that. Help us to ask you for that. And I pray, Father, that you would continue to build on the amazing work that you've done through this church family. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the years that you've put us on this corner. And I pray, Father, that the best would be ahead of us in our mission, in our service to you. And we give you praise. We give you thanks for the work that you're doing in each and every one of us right now across this room. In Jesus' name, amen.